Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Canadian Gamers Top X Games of the Year. And the reason why I'm saying Top X Games of the Year is because we're doing things, as we always do, a little different than normal. So I actually played 10 games this year in some capacity, and I think that's very important to stress, in some capacity, whereas my illustrious co-host here has played 5.
Well, I actually played a bit more than 5, but some of these games that I played I actually don't like at all, so I didn't feel comfortable putting them in the top 10. But like I told you before, if you want me to add games to this list to make it the top 10. I probably could think of games that I hated that I could put them, because technically they would be my top 10 games of the year, because those are the games I played. But I would have to go back and check to the list again. But
No. It's all
I think
good.
we had a good plan discussed before.
Yeah.
Like in our 5 seconds of prep time we did for this.
Okay, so just to let everybody know, what I started to do, and what Steven, I think both of us started to do actually, but maybe it was just me. What I started to do a number of years ago now is any game that I play for the first time in the year becomes eligible for the top 10 game of the year award. Okay, this is important. So if I played a game from 1987 for the first time this year, it's eligible. Just remember that. So okay, so I just happened to be lucky this year in that I only played 10 games. I actually wrote a list as I went of different games that I played, and those 10 games actually happen to be really good games. So this is actually like my real list. So here we go. So I'm gonna do from number 10 to number 5, and then Steven's going to jump in with his amazing uber great games. So number 10, I have New Super Lucky's Tale from 2019 that Steven bought me, and this was a big surprise for me, because I wasn't sure. Like, I like 3D action platformers like Ratchet & Clank and Super Mario Odyssey and stuff like that, but I wasn't sure what to make of this, and it turned out to be an absolutely fantastic game. Nice and short, which is perfect for me right now. And yeah, so I loved it. Number 9 was my introduction to the Xbox Game Pass. So I picked up an Xbox Game Pass. God, Steven, what? It's been a while now, right?
Yeah, probably in August, I'd say.
Yeah, something like that. And so I tried out Gears of War 4, and there you go. Really good game. It's from 2016, I know, but there's his laugh. it was good, but it wasn't great. And it would have been a lot better, obviously, having Steven there to mess around with me. But I don't want to spoil it, because I do plan on playing it with you. So I'm just going to leave it at that. Number 8 is a game I actually just started, but it's way too long. So it's from 2018, and it's way, way too long for me to, like, it's going to take me probably like 3 months to beat it, but whatever. And that is Spider-Man on the PS4. I was in the mood, and you'll understand why later on. Very good, man. Like, from what I play, I don't know, did you ever play that?
No, that's one of the games I really want to play one day.
Well, dude, it's you need a PhD for the controls, so just be warned, because you use every button on the controller, and you use every button on the controller in multiple ways. So, like, you could press, like, square X, like, separately, and they do two different functions, but if you press square and X together, they do something else. So it's like, it takes a little while to get used to, but the world is just like, I was like, wow, this is like, they did a really good job. They did a really, really good job. Okay, so that's 8. Number 7 is a game that's most likely going to be on your list. I have yet to play the second expansion, but Pokemon Sword and Shield, Isle of Armor. I didn't spend anywhere near the time I wanted to spend with this, but unfortunately, especially with work, I've had a couple of waves of just madness, let's just call it. And unfortunately, like, one of them happened just around the time of that, but this was an excellent expansion. I know it's not technically a game, but whatever. I haven't even downloaded the second expansion, because that's when everything at work collapsed. Number six is a game that I'm definitely going to play with you. There's no question about it. I'm going to be playing with you, even if I have to buy you a damn Xbox. I'm going to buy you an Xbox. Gears 5. Gears 5 was excellent. I really, really enjoyed it. It scores lower because it's a 2019 release. And I played it by myself, so it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't, that's not the way I like to experience those games. Okay, so here we go, finally. And number five is Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. This is one from 2017, which I told you about before. What I loved about it is it deals with, like, mental health issues, stuff like that, and it looked stunning on PC and was free with the Game Pass. So you can finally start.
So I did not know we were breaking the rules that much this year, like 2017, oh, yeah, man. 2016 games. Because if that's the case, then I can talk. I've also recently started a game from 2017 called Mass Effect Andromeda. I'm a huge Mass Effect fan, and I've always wanted to play this game. I know it didn't get glorious reviews like the other ones, but I've always been curious. But there's a problem with me lately. Like, I cannot... I need to play either Pokemon or a game that I can start, press A, and then right be in the middle of it. Because I played Mass Effect Andromeda for like 2 hours so far, and that's over the course of like 2-3 weeks. Like, I cannot get myself to play it more, even though from what I've played I was really enjoying it. But I don't know why I cannot seem to get into playing something unless I'm already like real knee deep in the game and don't have to. It's the same thing with Netflix, and I'm going a bit off topic right now. I was having a discussion with a friend a few weeks ago. Like, there's a lot of movies or TV shows on Netflix or Disney Plus or whatever streaming service you want that are interesting, and I always go back and watch The Office or The Suits or old movies and TV shows I've already watched because I know I love them. I'm afraid to try something new and waste like 5 minutes of my time. I don't know why. And it is the same thing with video games. That's a weird thing. But yeah, so Mass Effect Andromeda I've played. I'm going to list a few games here that I've played for a few hours. That might, like Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity. Like, I've only played it for 3 hours. For some reason, I'm not enjoying it as much as I did with the original Hyrule Warriors. Like this one, I don't know why. I don't like the open world setting. It's not even an open world game, but it's just that the way it's set up, it's that there are many missions that you can do and select stuff. I preferred the original. Like I said, I want my games simple because I'm a baby. I don't want many options, because if you give me too many options, I'm not gonna know what to do with myself, and I'm gonna quit. So yeah, Hyrule Warriors, I know a lot of people have been enjoying it, and that's fine. Another game is Pikmin 3 Deluxe. The Pikmin series has never been for me. I keep giving it a chance. It's too stressful for me because there's a time limit, and although I'm sure there's you can never run out of juice or whatever the currency it is, it's just stressing me out. Like, I prefer to play the game and not worry about when I have to stop for the day and whatever. So, and the last one I want to mention quickly is Paper Mario Origami King, which I'm sure you're going to mention later, which I've played quite a while, but I just did not enjoy the game at all, so I could not put it on a list, because I would have been lying. So my number five, and again, my number five is Super Mario 3D All-Stars, and this is a game that normally wouldn't even make my top 10 in a regular year, but I have played so few games this year that I couldn't, and it was good enough to be on the list. So that's why Super Mario 3D All-Stars is here, and it's also, it gave me the opportunity to finally beat Super Mario 64, which I had never done before. I could have never played it for much, and it also, like, I think it was one of our most controversial podcasts of the last like 2 or 3 years. We usually do like 1 or 2 a year like this, but people did not like my thoughts on Mario 64, and they haven't really changed that much, but at least I was able to play, to finally beat it. So that's why Super Mario 3D All-Stars is my number 5. And at number 4, I had Nexomon Extinction, which we've talked a lot about in podcasts. I think it was in June that we started talking about this, or maybe July, yeah. I don't remember. But my first impressions of this game were not good at all. But then they kept updated the game and really worked and made it a better game, which I always love when they do that, because why not when you have the option to? And it's just such a superior game now than it was when it launched. And if you're into monster taming games like I am, like, this is really a fun game. Like, it's really awesome. It has a surprisingly addictive storyline. I did not expect it to be that that catchy, but I really was into the storyline. I like the art style, and I like the characters are hilarious, and that's what sold it on me. I think the battle system and the Nexomon still need a lot of work, but for like an indie game, I think this game sold like 100,000 copies, so I think it overperformed for them, so that's good. We're probably going to get a sequel next year or the year after, so really happy. It's a good game if you want to try it out, like Nexomon Extinction. I think it's like $15 or $20, something like that, so it's not you could do worse than that.
All right, cool. My number 4 is Animal Crossing New Horizons. I'm still disappointed by this. I know you had really like a lot of fun with the Halloween event and stuff like that, but I just lost I don't know what it was. I just lost the drive. I had so much fun from March to about September, but then with the increase in work schedule and stuff like that, and just like, you know, madness, I just got out of it. So that's why it ranks lower than I'd like, because you want to say something?
Yeah, might as well. It's going to be lower for me. It's going to be higher on my list, so might as well talk about it now, and so don't repeat yourself. But I think I was the opposite of you, because I remember you seemed to be playing it a lot more than I did. You had like your island, you made a lot of work to do your island the way you wanted, and you were like maybe like 20 or 30 hours ahead of me in the game log. And I wasn't into it that much, because for me it was missing a lot of key features from New Leaf, and it still is. Like, I still miss like the actual stores that we had in New Leaf. Like, in New Leaf it took like almost a year for me to get everything in my island, and in this game a month after the game was out, I already had everything the island could offer. Like, you had the actual Nook store. Like, there's only one upgrade, I believe, and then after that there's nothing else. There's nothing else that comes to the island, which was disappointing. But once I kept playing every month just to get all the fish and the bugs and the sea creatures, and then I stopped. But now, after the Halloween event, I'm basically back to playing almost every day, and sometimes it's just for a minute, just to check if Red is in town, and that's it. But like the Halloween event brought me back really hardcore. Like, I was really into the Halloween events, because it gave you a reason to check in daily, and that's what these type of games need to be doing more often, and that was perfect for me. I was every day checking, buying candy and getting more recipes, and created like a little section in my village with Halloween theme furniture, and then did the same thing in my house, trying to get like the platinum trophy and stuff like that. And then for Thanksgiving, they had a really cool event for Thanksgiving, which I never played before. But this year I did, and it was really fun, because it was like a scavenger hunt. Like, there was a turkey in town, and he wanted to make 4 recipes, and he needed you to gather ingredients, so you would go and fish and go get sea creatures, or go get fruits or pumpkins and stuff like that to make his apple pies and his whatever he wanted to do. And then there was a secret ingredient you could get, and that rewarded you with exclusive items that you could create, which was fun. It's like kind of like the Bunny Day event, which everybody played, but that event was like 30 day long, and was really, at the end of it, you were tired of collecting eggs. Like, it was very boring to collect eggs at the end of it, but this was a 1 day event. So the events lately have been really good. Like, the Halloween event was fantastic. It was not repetitive like the Bunny Day event, and this was good. And then I just finished my fish collection, so I got every fish for the first time in an Animal Crossing game. I have every fish. And then I think on December 14, when there's going to start to be snowballs, I'm going to get the last bug that I'm missing for the museum. And then I think I'm only missing two sea creatures, which I don't know if they'll be available in January or February, but I'll be there soon. So I'm going to finally be able to complete my museum. And then the only thing that's going to be missing is the red stuff, which will take forever if I ever do it. But I've been noticing lately that red seems to pop in my island at least once a week now. He hasn't popped this week, but like the last, usually it took like maybe once a month or once every 3 weeks I would be lucky to see him. But I don't know if they've made his spawns more frequently, but he does seem to spawn more often. So that's my last thing. I really would want to complete the art museum, so I would have a full museum. That would be nice, but I'm not in a hurry. Because they did say there's going to be another update in January, and it seems like it's going to be a big one. So I think they're going to keep making this game, updating the game for another year or two, because the game sold like 26 million copies. It's ridiculous how many games they sold. So why not continue to updating, and it seems to keep selling. So that's why I have a lot of faith in this one. I hope that one day I'm going to be able to talk to you and we're going to be able to say that everything from New Leaf is now in New Horizons. And if that's the case, then I'll be able to finally like put New Horizons on the same pedestal as I did with New Leaf. But so far, I have to say I was disappointing more than you at the beginning, but now they're slowly starting to win me over. I know there's Toy Day coming on Christmas Eve. That's going to be fun. But the only issue is that now, like, you're not playing, Tim's not playing, Cranberry's not playing anymore, so I'm playing all by myself. So that's the only problem right now with this, is I don't have, like, it was fun to go to your island or to go to Tim's island or Cranberry's island, but you're not playing anymore, so I'm basically playing by myself. So that's the only issue I could see with me maybe stopping to playing this game once I get all the bugs and sea creatures, because like I said, if there's nobody to play with, like, I'm probably just going to go back to Pokemon and whatever next game I play. So, but yeah, I've been really, like I said, it's too bad that you stopped playing, because I think, like, I think that they're on the right track to slowly but surely put this game back to New Leaf standards, even though New Leaf, like, doesn't have a lot of the features that New Horizons have. Like, I think New Leaf was a really good game, and I think New Horizons in a year might be to that level, but I think it might be too late at that point for many people, but we'll see.
But you should be used to playing with yourself. But that's, I know, sorry, horrible humor. No, that was really well said. My goodness. Like, that was really well said. So, yeah, okay. Where am I? Number three.
You were number four, because I haven't said my number four, so it's now me. So my number, no, I did say my number four. Yeah, you're right. You're number three. I'm losing myself right here.
He hasn't played with himself today. Okay, so number three is the game that Steven hated. I found the battle system a little bit monotonous and stuff. I'm talking about Paper Mario Origami King. The thing with that game that I really did enjoy was the humor, the writing, stuff like that. I thought it was, well, for lack of a better term, I thought it was brilliant. I thought they did a really, really good job. So, yeah, I don't really have too much to say. Like, I think the reason why it scored so high is because there really wasn't that many contenders. but, yeah. So
yeah, I remember when you talked about it, you really, really seemed to have had a good time playing it.
Like, I did. I truly did. You beat it
like in like a week or two. You were really into it. So that's good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was excellent. And like I say, the writing was superb.
I just watched. Do you know who Arlo is?
No idea.
He does videos on YouTube. He's dressed as like similar to the Cookie Monster. He does videos on YouTube.
Okay.
It's a very popular channel. He mostly dedicates to Nintendo games, and he's good. He does good critical reviews, and he just did an hour and 20 minutes long review of Paper Mario Origami King, like maybe 2 days ago.
Okay.
And I agree pretty much what he said. Like, he's a huge Paper Mario fan. Like, huge. Like, the original and the Thousand Year Door and GameCube are like some of his favorite games ever. So he's been really hard on the series since then, but in a fair way. So it's might be worth a listen if in the background at one point if you want to have an maybe another take on this game. But yeah, it's a divided game. Many people love it, many people hate it. I was more on the hating part, but yeah. So for me, number three is the Isle of Armor. You've mentioned it before. Like, I've had a blast with the Isle of Armor. It was the first time we've ever had DLC with Pokemon and was just fantastic. And I played the Crown Tundra. I'm still playing the Crown Tundra from time to time. But for me, like, the Isle of Armor was way better. And most people wouldn't say that because the Crown Tundra is, like, I've had, I don't know if you've listened to Tim's podcast I did with him, but I talked about how Crown Tundra is more aimed at casual Pokemon fans because it reintroduced, like, all the legendaries. So, like, the one thing it has going for it is the Dynamax Adventures, which I really wanted to try with you at one point. Is awesome. Like, it's a really fun, challenging co-op Pokemon game, and then it offers you a chance to recapture all the past legendaries, which most people really love. But like I've told Tim in that podcast, like, I've captured those legendaries like 3 or 4 times before. Like, it's not really that exciting for me to catch them as much. The only thing is you have that high that 1% shiny odds chance with the shiny charm, so that does make me a reason to replay these. So I'm still from time to time playing them and trying to get the shiny legendary, so it's really fun. But the Isle of Armor was all about battling and competitive. Like, it added so much stuff to the competitive game and added new moves, and it was just a blast to play through. And I did not expect the Isle of Armor to be as good as it was. I thought it would be just an hour or two of main storyline and then just exploring like I would do, but no, I was really addicted to the Isle of Armor, and I think it's really a strong DLC, especially for those that like competitive battling. And for me, at number two, I have Animal Crossing New Horizons, which I've already talked about in detail, so I'll let you.
Okay, so excuse me, my number two is a game I actually just finished a little while ago, and while we'll hold a spoiler cast for this at some point, because you loved it until the last, I forget what you said, like hour and a half or something like that. What I'm talking about is The Last of Us Part Two. I just love that world. I love that world, and experiencing it, you know, like going back and experiencing that world again was phenomenal. I thought the story was brilliant, except for where you're most likely going, but we'll have a spoiler cast to talk about that. But it didn't destroy everything for me, like I know it did for some people. And like some people just like detested it. For me, it was just I didn't buy it. And I can't go into detail about any of this without like seriously spoiling. It just felt weird. That's all I can say. But everything else, from the gameplay to I'll be honest, like there's no need to buy a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox Series S or X when you have games like The Last of Us 2 and Ghosts of Tsushima or however it's pronounced. These things look like serious money was spent on the graphical engines of these games. Like, they look shocking. Like, I don't know about you, Steven, but for me, when I first like really got in and you see like it just blew my mind at how well like that game actually looked and played and everything. And I know I don't want you to talk about this now because we're gonna have a whole thing about it, but yeah, so that's my number two. I don't know if you want to say anything at all or
well, that's my number one, so might as well talk about it because we'll save your number one, which I think I know what it is. But my number one is Last of Us Part Two. When I first started playing this, I was in love. I love so much the Last of Us universe. Like, it's just amazing. I don't know why, but it really hooked me into it. And like the ending of The Last of Us, like I've said many times, people like debate it and whatnot. And for me, it wasn't even a debate. For me, I've always said that, like, from at the end of The Last of Us, Ellie was Joel's daughter. Like, I think she replaced Sam. I think Joel's daughter was Sam, right? Or whatever her name was. And I think,
oh God, I don't remember.
For him, like, Ellie became his daughter. Like, he was protective of her, and they had such a bond. And for me, like I've said, when I've talked to this with friends, it's like if we were in a similar situation and the world was about to end, or and where the infection and my son had like the cure, and somebody would come here and tell me that we have to kill your son to save the world, they would have to kill me to do that. Like, I wouldn't care. Like, I would rather have my son than the world be saved. And that's a nice like ethics conversation, but that's the way I felt, and that's why I thought like the ending for me resonated to me so well. Now in the real world, I'm sure they would be able to kill me in like 5 seconds and be over with it, because like it's not really realistic that Joel was able to get out of that building alive. But it's a video game, it doesn't matter, it's fun. For me, The Last of Us Part 2, like, I cannot wait for us to do the spoiler cast. The only issue is I played the game in July, so my memory will not be as good as yours, but we'll still be able to talk about most of the main points. I'll just have to maybe open a Wikipedia page and refresh my memory. The only thing I'll say about the game, like, it's still my number one, so obviously I still think it's a phenomenal game. It's just like the last hour and a half and 2 hours, Ellie was one of my favorite characters, and the way the game ends and the way they play it at the end, I despised her. I did not want anything to do with her. I was wishing I could not play with her anymore, play as her, I mean, anymore. It's just the way they made that, and I don't think that was intentional. I don't think that's the way they wanted it. I think they wanted like talk about how revenge can destroy
lover. But
way they did it, like, there's a scene at the end which I won't mention much, but you're basically doing something to another character, which at some point in the story I hated that character, but that by the end of the game they do a double turn. And that's not maybe how it feels for most people, but for me, I now love the other character and I hated the one that I'm supposed to be the main like the main protagonist or whatever it's called. So we'll talk about a bit more
about
that, but it's just the way they it almost destroyed the game for me. It almost made the whole experience like, I was like, why did they make a sequel if it was to make me feel like shit? Like, but maybe that's intentional, but I don't think it was. I think it was another, whatever. I'm sure many people love this game, so I did. It's my number one, but it's just for me the ending compared to the original, where the ending like solidified it as one of the best game ever. For me, this one, like, I don't know. I was not on board, to say the least.
Well, that's why it wasn't my number one. Mahaha. So what's my number one?
I would say it's Miles Morales.
Yeah, so I need to explain this. So my brother, due to my brother, I ended up getting a, what is it called? A PS5, okay? And I had no intention. I had zero intention. So kudos to him. That's basically how that happened, which was really nice. Miles Morales... Did you ever watch Into the Spider-Verse?
Yeah, I was going to talk about that because I knew you would get a PS5. I don't believe you for a second. It was not your intention, but I was going to talk about you because I want to play Miles Morales at one point, and I want to wait to get a PS5 maybe in a year or two, because I've heard that this game on a PS5 like loads in like milliseconds compared to the PS4, and just that seems like a pretty good incentive to wait since I'm not in a hurry, but we'll see. But I watched Spider-Man Miles Morales Into the Spider-Verse or whatever multiverse.
Yeah.
Like last Saturday with my kids, and I fell in love with Miles Morales. Man, that character.
I know. It's incredible. Exactly.
And it was funny because we made like popcorn. It was like a Saturday night movie, and like 15 minutes, like they always are, my kids were not interested anymore. Like they're not like regular kids. You can't put a movie and then go do something else and they'll be occupied. They don't watch movies for some reason. But at some points, like, there's a scene where the old Peter Parker, or the one from the other universe, like, he's knocked out, and the web,
yeah.
They keep, like, getting dragged to the city. I was laughing my ass off during that, and my kids were basically looking at me like I was an alien. Like, they wouldn't understand why this grown man was laughing at this. It's not really a kids movie, because there are it isn't, because there are some parts, like, Peter Parker dies in that movie.
Yeah.
Spoilers, but it happens in, like, the first 5 minutes. But, like, I was laughing my ass off at many scenes, especially Spider-Ham. I love Spider-Ham after that. Like, I always thought it was a joke, and he is, but at one point he just kicks, like, the ass of that Venom. Not Venom, but the... Yeah, I think it's Venom. Or is it the Scorpion? Whatever it is, he just kicks the ass of that character with his... It's just a badass. I was like, wow, I love this movie. And I love the Miles Morales. I think... I don't know if I'd have to think, but I think he's the best Spider-Man. Even, like, Peter Parker's a classic. I love Peter Parker, but, man, I love Miles Morales. And it's the first time I was introduced to him. Like, I knew who he was, but I did not really know who he was, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it was
really fun. So I want to play the game eventually.
Yeah, so, like I have every intention of getting, like, all the consoles eventually there, but... It was just, like, my schedule, man. Seriously, it's like it's out of this world, and so I like truly I have not been paying much attention to anything. It's been like that for quite a while now. For about, like, half the year, I just haven't. I mean, outside you and Tim, my connection to the game industry is pretty much you two. That's pretty much it. And so I didn't really know what to expect, okay? Like, at all. I didn't know what to expect. And it's weird, man. Like, and I know I'm going to tangent a little bit, and I apologize, but, like, when you want to set up the console, you set it up through your phone now. Like, it's messed up. Like, if you have the PlayStation app, as an example, you just have to, like, basically scan a QR code, and that's it. Your whole console is all set up for you. You don't have to log in. You don't need to do anything. It's like, what? And after doing a little bit of research, Microsoft is the same thing. So the two companies now basically have, like, this seamless experience of logging into your console. And when you first boot in to Miles Morales, it's a little bit of a different take than Into the Spider-Verse, a little bit. But what I loved about it was his connection to Harlem. And whereas, like, I again, I've only played maybe like an hour of Spider-Man from 2018. But Spider-Man from 2018, if I just call it Spider-Man, okay, and we'll refer to the other one as Miles Morales. Spider-Man was like, well, at least it appears to be a much grandioser story. Like, I think it's, like, probably like a 30-hour game or 25 hours or something like that. Whereas Miles Morales is like 6 hours, 8 hours, something like that. Like, it's a much more condensed story from what I've read. And, like, I played through the whole game. I actually enjoyed it so much, I played through it twice. And it's like, it's almost like a personal story where, like, it's so hard to explain, but it's like New York is actually, like, part of this character, and, like, Harlem is part of this character, and they tie it in so perfectly that, like, man, I thought it was flawless. Seriously, I don't even know what I would change. I thought it was, like, the perfect video game, and yeah, it looks stunning and stuff like that, but, like I said, I think The Last of Us Part 2 actually looks better, but it wasn't, for me, it wasn't the graphics that did it. It was what you said. I've never experienced a console in my life that felt that, like, did this. It's like, it felt like playing on the SNES again, or as you call it, the Super NES. And I'm not exaggerating, okay? I'm really, truly not exaggerating. You put the disc in, or the download, whatever you have, you press the you know, activate button. Screen goes black, you'll get the logo, right? So you'll get, like, the Sony, the new PlayStation logo thing that they're using. You'll get the Insomniac thing. Screen goes black again, and then Miles walks. Well, he's not walking, actually. He's standing in a metro. And if you press start, like, if it's, like, new game or whatever, and you just click start, because there's, like, a menu that appears in the top left-hand corner, it's like the doors to the metro open and he walks out and you're playing. And I was like, what the hell? And fast travel to go from one side of the city to the, like, literally from one side of the city to the next side of the city, all you do is you go in the map, you'll have like these little metro icons, you click on the metro icon, and you just press and hold X, and it's like a little meter that fills up really quickly. Like, it's like beep, like something like my sound effects for the activate, and then the screen goes black, and that's it. Like, it literally, it's like a fade to black, and then it immediately appears and you're playing again. And I was like, holy crap, like it's faster than the time it would take to load the picture to say now loading. And to me, I'm like, okay, like if this is the future, this is something I'm very interested in.
This sounds really amazing. That's why, like I said, I want to wait for the PS5 to play both versions eventually. But I'm wondering, will this be the case? Because this is clearly a multi-gen game, right? It was made for both consoles. So will this be something that will be available when they make like PS5 only games that would only be could only work on the PS5? Do you think they'll still have that loading?
No clue, man. I don't know how the technology like works itself. All I can tell you is that like when you experience that for the very first time, I'm not exaggerating, it truly feels like you've gone back to like the Super NES. Like I was blown away by that. Now before I move this on, well, did you do two? You told us your first. What was your second one?
Animal Crossing.
Oh, okay, so then we're done. One thing I did want to mention though, before like we totally wrap up, and we are gonna have to wrap up because I gotta have to run away soon. I haven't played Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. I want to. I haven't played Pokemon Sword and Shield Crown Tundra. I want to. And more so than anything right now, the game that I'm really, just because it looks stunning and they've been advertising like crazy everywhere, is Ghost of Tsushima. I really want to try that because it looks sick. But there is one game that I wasn't sure if I should add to the top 10 or not because I'm not, I just don't know. And that's Astro's Playroom. It comes free on every PlayStation 5. And my brother was like, you've got to play this. Like, this is the one thing like you've got to play. And I was like, okay, like, you know, like, whatever. And like I say, I haven't really been paying any attention to anything online. So I know this has been spoken to death about this, but I'll just want to mention this in and of itself because it's the first time in forever that Sony's actually done something. And I'm going to get flack for this, but whatever. It's the first time that Sony's done something, quote unquote, innovative in what I consider to be a very long time in terms of hardware and stuff. And yeah, I know they had their VR and they've had, you know, like instead of, you know, I always felt that the DualShock was like, they looked at the N64 and they were like, they have one stick, put two, you know, and like walk away. But whatever they've done here, man, this is the real deal. This little, whatever, Astro's Playroom, it's like a little, well, whatever, little dude who jumps into your controller and like you can feel and hear him walking around your controller. That might sound ridiculously stupid, but in game what it means is that every surface you walk on or interact with feels different. And I've never experienced anything like this. And yeah, maybe this will just be a gimmick for Astro's Playroom, because I'll tell you, when I played Spider-Man, Miles Morales, it just felt like a regular game. Like, they didn't bother to do anything with this controller. But, man, there is serious potential here. And where I can see it is mainly in the adaptive controllers. Now, I've been hearing that word like crazy, but I'm going to explain exactly what this means, just for anyone who doesn't know. So, basically, if I were to pick up a gun in a first-person shooter, and I pull the right the right trigger, depending on the gun I have to use more force to pull the trigger. And that's pretty awesome. So it means that every single weapon that you would use would have a different feel to it than the last one. And that's awesome. To be honest, it's really awesome. And Astro's Playroom was the single most impressive thing I've played all year in terms of a feeling different. And that's it. That's all I got.
Awesome. Awesome. Like, I've heard about the PS5's controller innovation, and it sounds cool. Like I said, this is something hopefully in the next year or two I'll get to experience. But right now, like I said, I have games like Mass Effect that I'm a huge fan of that I can't really get into. So I'm in no rush, but yeah, eventually maybe. But yeah, I'm really glad to hear about Miles Morales. Like I said, really interested into that character, and hopefully one day I'll get to experience. And I could play it on my PS4 rather, but
you just don't do that.
I just want to, because this ridiculous, like, loading time seems like it would make the game so much better. So I'm not in a rush, so I'll wait.
All right, and with that, we shall wrap up. So I just want to say thank you all for watching. Hope you had a lovely year. And what was your top 10 games of the year? Or in this case, we'll say top 5. What were your top 5 games of the year? Let us know in the comments below. Thanks for watching, and take care.